Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Power of Purpose in Business with Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt on Blog Talk Radio. If you have ever wondered about the transformational power of purpose and its impact on business and life, then you have tuned in to the right show. Each week, Nathan and Jim will join guests from a variety of backgrounds. You will hear from career professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and other experts, all of whom will join Jim and Nathan to discuss the transformational power of purpose. And now, here's your hosts, Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Power of Purpose in Business, Transforming Lives, Leaders, and Organizations. I'm your co-host, Nathan R. Mitchell, and I'm very excited you've decided to join us this evening. Jim Witt will be joining me momentarily, and we have a very special guest lined up for you. It's going to be a great, great show. Jim and I are really excited about tonight's guest. We will be talking quite a bit about the importance of helping people make sense of the difficult issues in life through the transformational power of purpose. And this week, I'd like to briefly share something with you that has been on my mind recently. All of us experience adversity in life, and whether that's adversity in our business, our relationships, our finances, or some other life challenge, it's so easy to play victim. So before I introduce tonight's guest, if you currently find yourself in a difficult spot where you're really trying to make sense of the difficult issues in your life, I want to encourage you. You know, I've long been a big fan of Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich. And Napoleon Hill once said, "Every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit." And with that, let me briefly introduce tonight's guest, Mr. Gerald Daniels. He is the co-founder of Family Matters, a ministry organization that's dedicated to helping people make sense of the difficult issues in life. They go into schools, churches, prisons, juvenile centers, businesses, and wherever they are invited to share the timeless message of life lived on purpose. They also counsel families and individuals on how to overcome the tough places in life we sometimes find ourselves in. Gerald, along with his wife Rita, they own a very successful business, Danwell Companies, that was created as the financial umbrella for Family Matters. Rita is a graduate of the very first Transformational Power of Purpose workshop. Gerald served 20 years in prison, and while he was there, he attended a workshop facilitated by my co-host, Jim Witt. Mr. Daniels' life it was revolutionized in this workshop, for it was there that he discovered his purpose. And since then, Gerald has been fulfilling his purpose by helping people make sense of the difficult issues in life. I was recently watching a video interview with Mr. Daniels. In that interview, he said, "I'm not motivated by reward or punishment anymore. You can never make enough or take enough away from me to ever take for granted my purpose in life." Jim and Gerald, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yes, thank you, Nathan.
And Gerald, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Gerald, we've been friends for a long time, and our friendship started in a very different place probably than a lot of friendships start. Why don't you tell our audience tonight how we met?
Well, I was actually going over this today. Reed and I was talking, and I broke out my worn and torn and ragged Transformational Power of Purpose book from about 15 years ago, and we were doing the first workshop at the prison, and Rita had met you and Sandra and had went through the first class there in Tulsa, and she said, "We're really going to love this. It's really going to be a neat experience, and it's going to help people." Of course, everyone is skeptical of another program and another self-help thing and something's going to change lives, but we got in there, and everybody was wanting to give it a try, and y'all come down and throwed your hearts and souls into it, and for myself and many of the men that were involved, it totally transformed our lives. I was thinking today, we were all hungry, and y'all got to tour around the prison a little bit, and I don't know if you remember or not, but went and got us all ramen noodle cup of soups and warmed them up, and we had a nice little warm prison meal together. So I remember it clearly.
Good old prison food, Gerald.
Yeah.
And now, just to kind of catch people up on this, my wife Sandra and I are on the outside. Your wife Rita is on the outside, but you were on the inside. Tell us why you were there.
Well, I was arrested for a crime that I was involved in, and I pled guilty to in 1984. I was given a life sentence for second-degree murder, and I owned up to what I did in front of the judge and the DA and everyone, and with no hope or really belief of ever being able to come home again, and gone through all the programs and done all the things you're supposed to do to make a noticeable change in your life. And as time began to progress, I got to go to college and complete all the various programs and what have you. But I'd had a life much like most everybody, you know, in America. We didn't come from a terribly bad family. My parents weren't criminals. I went to school, made pretty good grades and what have you, but got involved in drugs and alcohol. And before long, the bad choices were compounding one upon another. And we believe today, and Rita Lynn and I talk about a lot when we go into schools and FCAs, and especially the juvenile facilities, that one of the reasons that I got to come home was that we didn't make excuses. Owning up to what I did was a big, big part of it, but it wasn't peer pressure. My mom died when I was young. Had kind of a little tumultuous family life there at the end, but the choices that I made were made by someone who knew what they were doing. And the day that I stood before the judge, I shared this with a group of youths at a rally yesterday, that the judge hit the gavel across the table, and when she gave me the life sentence, she told me that your life is going to be changed forever. And, of course, you hear all the horror stories and terrible things of prison, excuse me, and justifiably so. But in my case, prison was the very worst thing that ever happened to me, and it was also the very best thing. So I look back on those days, and I look where we're at today, and it's the goodness and mercy and grace of God that's got us to this place.
So, Gerald, whenever we met, you were serving a life sentence without any real hope of parole at that time. And when we were there, we did our Transformational Power of Purpose workshop, the very same one that your wife Rita had participated in, and asked us if we would come to Mac Alford Correctional Center there in Stringtown, Oklahoma. And really, just so everyone can understand out there, you know, if you're listening to this program and you think, you know, you think you're in a bad situation, this is about as bad a situation as you can be in. You're serving a life sentence, you're in prison, and then you have these people that are coming down to share this Transformational Power of Purpose workshop. Now, I will say this. The very first time I met Gerald, if I was on the outside, I would have never thought that he was anybody but somebody I might have known. In fact, I discovered that about most of the inmates. Once you get past the fact that you're behind bars, they're just people. But at that workshop, you made an important discovery, Gerald. Tell them you discovered your purpose, and tell them what that purpose is.
Well, the manual, the book that we went through was the Transformational Power of Purpose. Since then, I've read and soaked up all of Jim's books and the lectures and the series. But what we went through with the Transformational Power of Purpose was a workshop designed to help people go through the process of finding their purpose in life. We hear people say it all the time, what's the meaning to life, what's my purpose in life, you know, where do I go from here? And what Jim and Sandra brought to the institution was a defined process with which you could go through, if not to find your purpose, to get you on the road to finding it. And when they come down and we went through the workshop and began to build relationship and getting to know one another, we could see, and I'm talking about us as the group and the people that were involved in Family Matters, we could see the difference in the attitude, the process, the way in which the goods were delivered through the Transformational Power of Purpose, so to say. And I looked at the material objectively, realizing that if anything was helpful, we needed to use it. And as we looked at these things, I made note of a couple of things in the book, and I can go back to them if it's okay to read one of them. The one that meant the most to me, Jim, was from chapter 2. And it's the question that you asked in the workshop, why are you crossing the road? And it's from the movie City Slickers. And the narrative goes, Curly, how old are you? And he says, 38. Mitch, 39. Curly, you all come up here about the same age, same problems. You spend about 50 weeks a year getting knots in your rope. And when you think 2 weeks up here will untie them for you, none of you get it. You know what the secret to life is? Mitch, no. What? Curly, this, holding up his index finger as the number one. Mitch replies, your finger? Curly says, no, one thing, just one thing. You stick to that, and everything else doesn't mean nothing. Mitch replies, that's great, but what's the one thing? Curly replies, that's what you got to figure out. And that one thing that you got to figure out is what the transformational power purpose defines for us. We've got to find our purpose in life.
Well, that's a great place to transition. I tell people, Gerald, you've heard me say this many times, I can't tell you what your purpose in life is, but I'm going to give you a shovel and tell you where to dig. And you were created with that purpose. You've had it ever since you were conceived or before. But like you, we accumulate a lifetime of reward and punishment that covers that up. All we do is give people a process to help them find that purpose in life. And with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more from Gerald Daniels.
Jim Witt, founder of Purpose Unlimited, is an unapologetic people provoker. Jim's career was birthed from the discovery of his purpose in life in 1988. For more than 20 years, Jim has provoked people and organizations to reach their full potential as a speaker, consultant, and author. He is the author of Writing for the Brand, The Power of Purposeful Leadership, and The Transformational Power of Purpose. All of this provides Jim with a unique perspective into human behavior, which he has applied to develop his unconventional approach to transforming lives, leaders, and organizations. Connect with Jim today at www.purposeunlimited.com. It's time for The Power of Purpose in Business with Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt on Blog Talk Radio. If you have ever wondered about the transformational power of purpose and its impact on business and life, then you have tuned in to the right show. Each week, Nathan and Jim will join guests from a variety of backgrounds. You will hear from career professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and other experts, all of whom will join Jim and Nathan to discuss the transformational power of purpose. And now, here's your hosts, Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is your co-host, Nathan Mitchell, and I am here with Jim Witt and Gerald Daniels. Gerald Daniels is a co-founder of Family Matters, a ministry organization that is dedicated to helping people make sense of the difficult issues in life. Jim and Gerald, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Nathan. And I do want to talk about Family Matters in just a moment, but I want to tell you what happened in Gerald's life after he discovered his purpose. He sent me a letter, and this is while he's still incarcerated, still no hope of parole, and this is what he wrote. My purpose is to help people make sense of the difficult issues in life. I do that by counseling them with encouragement, instruction, and correction. I became aware of this purpose through the responses of many who were facing trying times in their lives. I either noticed or they would ask for help. They have said things like, I was headed straight for trouble. Thank you for warning me. You're such an encourager. I see things more clearly now. You helped me to define the problem and its causes. There really is a solution. Counseling and teaching is where I'm most comfortable. It has given my life meaning, focus, and simplified what I used to struggle with. My purpose has freed me to be myself. No reward or punishment is great enough to cause me to miss my purpose in life. Now, I want everyone listening to go back and think about that sentence. My purpose has freed me to be myself. Now, this is someone who's serving life in prison. But Gerald, after the discovery of your purpose to help people make sense of the difficult issues of life, and you were fulfilling that purpose while you were still on the inside, you had a miraculous thing happen in your life. You were paroled. Tell us about that.
Well, the thing that's always imperative for us when we go in and share, whether it's churches or the jails or the business meetings or wherever it may be, that we're very conscientious of victims and victims' families and the people who suffer on both sides of the law. And when I was writing this, I'm looking at it verbatim. I have a copy of it right here in the front of my Bible from all those years ago. And when I was writing these things, I knew that at that point that nothing physically had changed. It was more of the spiritual and mental and emotional things that had begun to take place with what I was learning about purpose. And we didn't go through the workshop with any of the pretense of anybody ever knowing that I would be released or anyone's, you know, would be able to go home from prison. But as these things began to unfold, staff members, people where I worked inside the institution, I had been there for a long time and had known most of the staff and security and people. And one of the employees stepped up to the plate one day and made a phone call to the Attorney General's office just down the clear blue sky and told them that we have a man here who is ready to go home. And, of course, you know, skepticism and eyebrows raised and everything under the sun, because I'd never heard of anything like it and hadn't heard anything like it still to this day. And that was around September or October of 2003. By April of 2004, I was walking out the front gate of the prison after 20 years of incarceration with the complete understanding that I had a new lease on life and hope to go and fulfill these things that we had learned about purpose and how to be a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen and to go out and to help people. And to this day, I never forget, I was walking out the door and the warden secretary, who I used to work in their office for a long time, told me, said, go and live a good life. And by that, she meant to help people and to serve people and to warn people and to teach and to show them the things that I had learned.
Gerald, whenever you were released, you got a job with a landscaping company, and you very quickly rose to the top of that company, and you were there for how long?
I worked there for about 4 years, Jim. It was a good-paying job, and I started out making $7.25 an hour. I walked away from it. Nobody had any idea the economy was fixing to go south in 2008, and I was making about $54,000 a year. Good money, good salary for somebody, not only in my situation, just, you know, anybody. And you and I had talked quite a bit and had begun to formulate and put a plan together to exit from the company, not because of any terrible thing going on there, but it just wasn't the right fit and we couldn't fulfill the things that we were supposed to be doing. So in 2008, November, we started our own company.
Now, 2008, in November of 2008, that is when the world economy just cratered.
Right.
And Gerald and I and his wife Rita and my wife Sandra talked about their business and about what he was doing, and Gerald said, well, I'm thinking about starting it, and I think I'll start it this next spring. And you remember what I told you to do, Gerald?
I'll never forget it as long as I live, and I was so mad for about 6 months. I said, Jim, I think we need to wait. I think we need to wait. I think we need to wait. He said, Gerald, the time is right. You need to start now. If you keep waiting, you're never going to do it, because in your mind's eye, the reward and punishment part of it is, you know, I have a good income every day. I have a little money in the bank. The bills are paid. The cow's milking. The hen's laying. The wife is halfway happy. You know, we're just coast right along. But the reality was is that I was not in the right position to be able to fulfill the purpose end of what we knew exactly to be doing. And the torture of that was not worth what we were going through, and I went ahead and resigned from the company, and we started Damwell Companies.
And that was December 1st of 2008, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, I also told you that if you waited until the spring when the landscaping business was really going to pick up, I said you'd never catch up with it. Do you remember me telling you that?
Yes, I do. I remember
well,
it well.
Gerald.
And I've been trying to catch up ever since.
Now, and this is the really fun part for me, is because Gerald's purpose is to help people make sense of the difficult issues of in life. And he does that every day. Now, he started in December 1st of 2008, so that's, what, 4 years ago now?
Correct.
Okay. Gerald, how many employees do you have today?
We have 18 employees, and we will man up on projects on our larger concrete construction and structural steel jobs up to 25, 28, 30 people.
Yeah. Okay. So you start from scratch 4 years ago when the economy is at its absolute worst. Now you have over 30 people employed, sometimes more depending on how many projects you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without giving away your financial figures and everything, can you tell us what you think that you'll finish this year, total dollars in revenue this year?
We're averaging, Jim, right around $2 million. And the thing that we are trying to look at is not just, as you've advised me, the bean counter, the bottom line things that we're doing, but how we can position ourselves more effectively to do the business end of what we do, but also the things that we do with family matters. So as any typical business owner, you want to get in there and make a hand and do well. But with my temperament and personality, the things that I was doing, it was good, but it was wearing everybody around me out. So what we have began to focus on is not so much the bottom line, but the quality of our work, the quality of our employees, and to be professional, reliable, and courteous service. We are working literally from one end of the state to the other.
Now, you started out doing landscaping, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you progressed into construction work.
Yes, sir.
You do steel construction. You do commercial. You don't do any residential. You do some residential, too, don't you?
We do high-end residential, and not so much the high-end is, you know, super-duper costly, but we work closely with an architectural firm that is a design-build team, and we have linked up with them, and it's been an absolute joy to work alongside them and learn and see the residential end of the aspect. It's our bread and butter. We're not too proud to get in there. We'll build whatever it is, wherever it's at, and we'll take pride in what we do.
Now, I want everybody to know that if you spend any time with Gerald, you know that I'm telling you what. He is a hard driver. He gets up early every morning, works hard every day, and he works harder than probably four other people combined. But he's still fulfilling his purpose every day of helping people make sense of the difficult issues in life. And really, that's what you're doing in your business, Gerald. You're helping people make sense of things actually through construction work, landscaping work, working with your employees, interacting with your customers and your prospects, aren't you?
Yes. Jim, I don't say it just to flatter you because we're on the radio. Of course, you know, when we're spending time and just talking guy to guy and we go over these things, we now have the concrete construction division, the structural steel division, the turf management division, and we have a property maintenance division. So in each one of those divisions, obviously you have to have quality employees, people you can trust, people you have confidence in. And many of the people that we have been able to hire are tradesmen. These guys can do prints, layouts, elevations, square up, you know, every phase, scope of work that we do. But there's a lot of them that will come, guys and girls who need jobs, who have been incarcerated. Some of them may not have made it that far down the pike. They may have been put into drug court or just struggling with things in families that we may know reference someone. So we're able to, throughout the divisions of the company, employ people who are of a like mind. They may not be of a like temperament like mine to go hard and, you know, I enjoy working. Some people just want to make a living, and I want to do that. But we want to do our very best, and we want to prove to people not only the acceptance or anything like that, but that what we have to offer through business and what we have to offer through family matters is transforming lives, and it's only done through being able to find your purpose. So the people that we work with here all day long, without a purpose, your only motivation is reward and punishment. And after a while, it begins to sink in, and we see great success. People who are coming home who may have on an ankle monitor, they may be on parole for lengthy periods of time, who now have their driver's license back. They're welcome in their parents' home. They're welcome in the community. They're being reunited with their kids, getting their back child support taken care of. So that's what it's all about for us, is serving our employees and our customers and our clients.
Well, Gerald, that's a perfect place for us to break for a commercial here. When we come back, I want to talk more about family matters, okay?
Jim Witt, founder of Purpose Unlimited, is an unapologetic people provoker. Jim's career was birthed from the discovery of his purpose in life in 1988. For more than 20 years, Jim has provoked people and organizations to reach their full potential as a speaker, consultant, and author. He is the author of Writing for the Brand, The Power of Purposeful Leadership, and The Transformational Power of Purpose. All of this provides Jim with a unique perspective into human behavior, which he has applied to develop his unconventional approach to transforming lives, leaders, and organizations. Connect with Jim today at www.purposeunlimited.com. It's time for The Power of Purpose in Business with Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt on Blog Talk Radio. If you have ever wondered about the transformational power of purpose and its impact on business and life, then you have tuned in to the right show. Each week, Nathan and Jim will join guests from a variety of backgrounds. You will hear from career professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and other experts, all of whom will join Jim and Nathan to discuss the transformational power of purpose. And now, here's your hosts, Nathan Mitchell and Jim Witt.
Hello, everyone. Nathan Mitchell here, your co-host, and I am so excited about the guest we have on tonight's show, Mr. Gerald Daniels. We have some great, great content that we are sharing with all of our listeners this evening. Jim and Gerald, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Nathan. Gerald, we've talked about your business. We talked about where you were when we met. We talked about how you actually discovered your purpose to help people make sense of the difficult issues in life. And I've thought about this many times, and you and I've talked about it too. You know, none of us want to go through tough times. None of us want to be uncomfortable. But how could you have been better prepared to help people make sense of the difficult issues in life by spending 20 years in a prison?
Well, that's the answer to that question, Jim. It's that chapter 2 of the book that I love so much. That's the one thing that you got to find out. That's the one thing that every one of us have to find out. I don't want to go through difficult times, and not only that, I don't want other people to have to experience the things that I did. Sometimes that rock in a hard place, the old adage, we learn best from our mistakes, is true. But there is also a way to rise above these situations, and whether it's addictions, and we deal with people on a lot of different levels and families and individuals, but to be able to reconcile our past with our present and have some kind of vision for the future, it's virtually impossible without knowing which pathway and road that you're going to take. It's like you said earlier, and I've heard you say it 100 times to me, I can show you where to dig, but you're going to have to do the digging. And the big step for Reed and I, of course, was founding the nonprofit end of what we do, which is Family Matters, which created a vehicle for us to get out and to work with people.
And, you know, I think about that. 20 years of being incarcerated, certainly no one can say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. And there may be some people that have had a worse situation than you, but those 20 years, you learned a lot about yourself and you learned a lot about people, and you had the opportunity to go through those difficult issues. Now, with Family Matters, and you and I have been trying for many years now to take the transformational power of purpose process back into the correctional system. And Family Matters, along with Purpose Unlimited, we see that as a vehicle to flip the recidivism rate.
Right. Well, the recidivism rate, and of course, in the state of Oklahoma, everybody knows it's super high. We incarcerate number 3 or 4 for men, number 1 for women worldwide. And the big...
Now, say that again. In the state of Oklahoma, we incarcerate how many again?
The state of Oklahoma incarcerates number 3 in the nation for men and number 1 in the world for women. We incarcerate more people per capita in Oklahoma than virtually anywhere else, not in the United States, but in the world. And recidivism not only is a very alarming statistic for families and children and victims of crimes, but it's also a great tax burden for the state of Oklahoma. Every year the legislature goes through all the things of doling out the money, and every year education and corrections gets the majority of the budget. The problem is that the education should be getting a whole lot more, and corrections should be, it seems, getting less because you're delivering a good product. And the product is people getting out and staying out. When I first came home, we had a chance to speak at the legislature in Oklahoma City, and we met with Mr. Saffel, James Saffel. He's a former director of the Department of Corrections. Jim, you had met him when we'd done the workshop there in Tulsa. And very wise man, lots of experience in corrections. And he was the first to tell us, he said, this is a no-brainer. It needs to be in there today. Helping to transform lives with purpose, that's the missing link. The whole drug problem, the whole drinking problem, the whole stealing and all of the things that go with incarceration is because of a lack of purpose. And choices are made each and every day in life. I see these people out here that are heading in there. We see it all the time. And your prisons are full of your sons and daughters, your husbands and wives, your nieces and nephews. They're not aliens. They come from our families and our communities. And I'm telling you, it starts from a young age, and education is the key. And finding your purpose while you're out here eliminates having to go there.
And just so our listeners will understand what we're talking about, recidivism, we're actually talking about the number of people that are released from prison that actually end up going back into prison, right?
You're absolutely right, Jim. And I can tell you with complete confidence the things that Rita instills, and she handles the human resources of our company, that we don't have any of our men who have worked with us who have been repeat offenders who have wound up back behind bars. And part of that is the testament of our program is work and sobriety. And if a man will work and you'll stay sober and stay clean, you can begin to develop trust and confidence back in your family and the community. And, you know, like I said earlier, and I don't want to be redundant, but it's a no-brainer.
Now, I know that you and I have talked about, and tell me if it's changed, but about 7 out of every 10 inmates that are released now will end up going back to prison. Is that correct?
I think that number is stayed static over the years. Jim, the last few years, I've not looked at the actual number, but if it's not exactly that, it's real close. It's very, very alarming, and they know that in this day and age that they're almost trying, like I was telling you earlier, the youth rally I spoke at yesterday, they're trying to target 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-old kids now to get out of the gang mentality, the drinking, the drugs, the stealing, and all the little run the streets things. But it's such a plague that it's a cultural and generational problem now within communities and in families. Jim?
Hi, Gerald. You still with us?
Yes, sir.
Well, it looks like Jim may have been cut off. I want to thank you so much for being on the show this evening. You guys have really shared some great, great content with us, and Jim and I look forward to bringing you back on the air in the near future if you'd like to do that.
We most certainly would, Nathan. I wanted to close, if I could, with – do I have enough time for one thing?
Absolutely, Gerald. Go ahead.
I was reading from your website about leading by rote versus leading on purpose, and it ties in so clearly with the transformational power of purpose. When your role is clearly defined, your core values are clearly defined, and you know that your purpose is powerful, positive, simple, and serving, it finds that one thing out in life, and it just clears the trail for you to begin to pursue those things. And it is a process. I don't want anyone to think it happens overnight. But when you're motivated by purpose, you can't give enough or take enough away to detract from somebody from fulfilling it.
Well, Gerald, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed listening to Jim interview this evening. And again, thank you all for tuning in. Jim and I would like to say thank you for joining us as well. It is our hope and our intention that this show this evening has brought value to you, your business, and your life. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you so much, Gerald. God bless you, and take care.
You too, Mitchell.
Bye-bye.